the systems will build you in their image. So the metrics and the imperatives and the KPI that build like the way that you think, your desires, your appetites, what actually brings you pleasure are built in. And if you don't have one awareness, those systems will build it into you. You will live your entire life. You will live and die to serve a system, right? And then you will run your family. You will find pleasure based on those things that will seek to define you, because they will if you will let them.
Welcome to the How Leaders Think podcast, the show that transforms you by renewing your mind and giving you new ways to think. I'm your host, Kenny Lang, and with me today is the Art Cerna. He is a bicultural executive strategist and founder of Cosmos Renewed. Who knew that they needed to be renewed? That we got to get out with the old, we got to bring them back. He's leveraging 20 plus years of experience to scale mission-driven enterprises through digital transformation and disciplined execution. He integrates high-level business strategy with apostolic prophetic ministry. Love that. There's more to say on that. Equipping the unknowns to dismantle imposter syndrome, hallelujah, and lead in the marketplace with divine precision. His mission is to empower a kingdom-minded billionaire class, I received that, to reclaim their inheritance and build innovative solutions that serve humanity. Welcome to the show, Art.
Kenny, thank you. That was a phenomenal intro, man. I appreciate that.
I like to, we'll spice it up, and we can clip this and then you can just have that at your next conference.
I love it.
Like, where's that voice coming from? Like, I brought my own audio intro, not just the bio.
All right. It felt like when, that announcer for the Chicago Bulls back when Jordan was, and he would go on and he was like, that just stayed with me as a kid growing up in the 90s. Right. And now for the starting lineup, it's powerful. Thank you.
Okay. So that's the highest compliment I think anyone's ever given me. And if I could, I'm just going to end my part of the podcast here because I think it's just downhill on my side of things, because that was one of my favorite things. As a matter of fact, the other day I was playing like my favorites playlist on Apple Music. Yeah. And the song they play for them to walk out came on. Like, I loved it so much. I didn't just want the 30-second clip. I got the full song and it's on my playlist.
Listen, I think we're in sync this morning. We're there, man. We're there. I love it.
Well, tell me, Art, today, other than the starting lineup of the 90s Chicago Bulls, what is on your mind?
Yeah, man. I recently wrote a book, The Unknown's Rising. And so I've been reflecting a ton about the concept of how we build stuff in the world. So Jordan built a legacy building team, right? In his time. And so he was a mentor at a distance for me growing up as a kid, and kept me in line. Just trying to kind of spend a lot of time in the basketball court. How do we partner with God? What's on my mind? How do we partner with God to build something that outlives us and actually is aligned with what he's building? That's what's on my mind, and unpacking that. And that, the layers of that are in the book, The Unknown's Rising, but just capturing my story and thinking through people, leaders like Joseph and Daniel in scripture, and how God enabled them in their day to be part of empires and large systems. But it wasn't like they didn't put in a resume, right? God selected, chose them and prepared them. So that's what's on my mind, Kenny.
I love that. Coincidentally, that's on my mind. So we may have to have a part two unrecorded. But I love the idea of being prepared, being selected. But that doesn't necessarily mean it's magically going to happen, right?
No, I think there's a lot of variables in those type of things, right? One is that just your heart, how aligned are you to whatever that pool is, right? And how ready, and there's always a cost to pay, right? And building something of significance. And it's a question whether you're willing to pay that cost and go through that preparation. Sometimes it's discipline. It's like perfecting your craft, whatever that is. But many times it's just as a human, your multifaceted capacity to sustain pressure. So your emotional capacity, your ability to envision something different, your ability to change and adapt, There's a cost to pay, and those that are willing to pay it, I think, get to cherish the fruit of that decision multiple times. It's not just one decision. It's a pattern, but it often takes one core decision.
Right. Sort of like that catalytic moment, the big domino to push over in order for the other ones to start to fall. You know, I was at a summit last week for one of the methodologies I use, and I always come away with like insights, and I both feel smarter and dumber at the same time because I'm around a bunch of smart people. But one of the lines that was repeated that I think speaks to what you're talking about with building something that will last is, I forgot who said the quote. Maybe it was one of the old philosophers like Aristotle, but it's like wise men will plant the seeds of trees under whose shade they'll never sit. Mm. And that came to mind as you were describing what you see in terms of building something for the future, building something that endures. And I think to do that, I really loved how you said that the ability to, the resilience to withstand sustained pressure. And I'm wondering if you could talk about what that means, because I think a lot of people, whether they're a believer in the faith or otherwise, like I don't think they truly count the cost of building something, whether you want to call that entrepreneurship or pursuing a calling on your life or something else. I don't think people fully understand the cost, and maybe that's to their benefit because you got to be a little naive to get something started, but to keep something going is much harder. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, well, I think for me, what I've learned is kind of the focus and the genesis of that drive for each individual is critical. Okay. So for me, it just happens to be my faith. Happens to be that, right? So I actually took a trip to Tyler. I think you're in Tyler, Texas. So years ago, part of my journey, I captured this in my book, that catalytic moment for me where I spent time in Mexico, was born in Texas, lived in Mexico first years of my life, started in the U.S. Education system, fourth grade, learned English, and then went on. But the American dream was like a genesis, like believing American could be the greatest country if you believe it, work hard, all of those things. What I realized many years later is, and I still believe that, but it was like the hustle culture, kind of the capitalistic like thing to perform and stack performance and achievement. And I had like valedictorian in my class and just incredible people that encouraged me. All those were good things. I think they can be put to use in the wrong way over time. So to your question of the ability to sustain pressure, I think, there was a lot that I learned. Again, I mentioned stories of leaders, mentors I looked up to, like the story of Jordan was like such a kind of visionary thing to pursue. Kobe Bryant, those folks that got the best at their craft through discipline. Yeah. But what I learned over time that if you understand the genesis of what drives you, that you can sustain pressure longer. You understand purpose. Right? You can get through, and it's every individual. So I had some level of clarity, but I wasn't quite sure. So I was in Oklahoma City at the time. I was leading as a leader and teacher for America, an incredible nonprofit. And at the time, but there was something missing that I wasn't connected to fully identity and purpose. And there was something missing. I didn't know what it was fully. And at that time, I told my wife, like, hey, I need something. I need to have some type of encounter. Something needs to break. I just don't feel fulfilled. I'm doing all the work, you know, achieving, but there's something missing. And I found out about this group, this gathering in Tyler, Texas. Man, it was some kind of boot camp of sorts. I can't remember what it was. I can't remember how I found it online. And I didn't know anything about it other than that it's like, it was somewhat mysterious. Like, you're going to come to this thing. We're not going to fully tell you what we're going to do, but you can come to this thing. And I got in my car. I signed up. I came. And again, it was great, phenomenal experience. Met a lot of men who were ready to like really get through the layers and find purpose. So what came out of that, there was one experience we did about like finding out the different masks that we wear. And for me, it was workaholic was like the thing that came forward. And then there's this concept of renaming, like, okay, well, if that's your mask, what is really your core?
Right.
For me, and so having a community of other leaders, men in that example, really get to know you without a lot. But you're doing, like, you're becoming incredibly vulnerable and, like, just putting all your stuff out there. So in that community of people that I just met, the concept of imager, you're an imager, you know, of the creator. And that came, that was mine, that they were like, well, replace this with that. So understanding, Kenny, for me, that identity was critical. And so I came out of that and I captured it in the book. Like, it took years to really fully unpack what that meant, but it was catalytic. It started a set of encounters in my life that resulted in kind of an encounter, a supernatural encounter in 2020 here in Milwaukee that really shifted me. I would call it almost like a burning bush moment. For me, was like, whoa, there's clarity here. And now I can go. So when you have that, I believe you have increased almost exponential capacity to sustain pressure, because it comes from within. There's this deep clarity, this deep anchor that allows you to go through it. And when you don't have it, then you tend to just cradle and just surrender and fall quickly when the pressure comes.
Yeah. There's, lots of good stuff there. Also, I may have made some connections with your story, because I also went through a men's boot camp. And actually, if it's the same one, they've also been a client. So, small world. But the thing that stands out to me, and I love what you said about we're made in the image and likeness of Christ, right? And the world tries to give us the communities, well-intentioned people, even. That's the part that's probably hardest. I think try to give us our image and our identity. And part of in my leadership formation methodology, Lead to Scale, one of the core tenets that I landed on was that identity precedes behavior. So whatever you believe about who you are influences what you do, and almost deterministically. There's even research from a friend of mine, Tim Spiker, and he did it with a couple of other folks, and then wrote it up in a book called The Only Leaders Worth Following, where they found that 77% of what makes you an effective leader is who you are, not what you do.
Wow.
And I hear a lot of that in what you're saying, is that you were doing good things, right? It wasn't like, hey, I was snorting cocaine and burning down buildings and doing all this stuff, and then I saw, you know, a bright light. Like, it wasn't exactly like a Paul moment where he had scales. Like, you were doing good things. You were part of a great nonprofit organization, but you still felt that gap. And I'm wondering, for so many of us, including those of us who have been a part of the Christian faith, or really, I mean, any faith attempts to get at your identity, but why are we picking up an identity that maybe isn't core to who we are? I come back to this question with like Saul's armor, right? David shows up, he says, I'm ready to fight, and they're like, oh, we'll give you the king's armor, we'll set this on you, and he's like, this is super nice, guys. Like the Ferrari, because they knew what Ferraris were even back then. Right. This is the Ferrari of armor, but it's not mine, and I can't do what I need to do with somebody else's armor on. Can you talk about how we take that on and the impact that has on us? Because I think that's the prevailing wisdom, is that the best ideas and the best identities are out there for us to find. It's not something given to us as a gift.
What I've learned is, you know, we live in a world of systems. Systems are created often by, you know, they have this tendency to exist over time and outlive many of us, right? So we live within systems. And if you just have self-awareness, that's true, you have a leg up on most people, right? Like if you understand. So growing up in kind of nonprofit sector where many of the things of like the narratives that are written for you, like your zip code defines your outcomes as one that you grapple with, and then you become that one that doesn't. And then people ask, well, why, how did you make it? Like you were a kid who came from like a low income community. How did you become valedictorian? How did you make it out? So there's some truth to that, but understanding systems, educational systems, corporations, all, there's this layers and layers. But I think for me, in my journey, this concept of the bigger plan, you know, of Jesus, it was said, his kingdom is not of this world. You understand? Okay, there's even a bigger system, right? There's a bigger system above the typical systems we live in. But I think the truth for me, Henry, was that like someone like Joseph, in terms of leadership preparation, the system didn't prepare Joseph, God did. And so you got to understand, where does the preparation come from? Because in that, even overseeing over the systems that were, there was an external source that had influence in the preparation. And when I began to understand that, because the systems will build you in their image, right? So the metrics and the imperatives and the KPIs that you grow up, that build like the way that you think, your desires, your appetites, what actually brings you pleasure are built in. And if you don't have one awareness, those systems will build it into you. You will live your entire life. You will live and die to serve a system, right? And then you will run your family. You will find pleasure based on those things that will seek to define you. Because they will, if you will let them. But I think when you have this external thing, you talked about Paul. Paul had this external influence that came, and that was an encounter with something more powerful than the voice of the systems of his age. And I had that encounter. That's kind of the genesis of journaling that in the book, of having an awareness that there was this voice to say, there's one. You are born for a higher purpose, but you live in natural systems. Joseph had a way to elevate above the systems to understand with their source. Daniel was another guy, right? Lived in a Babylonian system that actually required worship. Like you must bow down and worship the system. Yet he had this source that was external that he had surrendered to. And could pull on that wisdom, and it could enable him to like navigate that reality in a different way. And in times impact the system because there was something in him that was different. It was said, you're different. Like you have this, an excellent spirit that is different. You bring innovation, wisdom. So it's an ability to, and I'll say it just this way, to combine different elements that make you a terrific leader. So one is, this component of faith or a higher purpose, this definition that is almost supernatural, mystical, right?
Yeah.
Innovation, the ability to innovate, the ability to understand strategy and vision in the future, and then bringing all of those together in a way that's compelling that you bring others along. Moses had to have that. I'll start and I'll turn it back to you. But Moses had an ability, even within a system that had become oppressive, to be prepared from the very beginning, spared his life, God spared his life, and went through a season where the system prepared him, the Egyptian system prepared him, but then spit him out, right? And then later God said, you're gonna go back to that thing and you're going to, but the thing I will want to say in my book is that the tools that God puts in a generation, those that can truly hear the moment, right? He had a staff, it was just a staff, man, but he had a tool in his hand that this external source is, I'm going to take just what you have as a staff and I'm going to supernaturally empower you and show you that this tool you have in your hand, I can turn to empower you to confront the system of your day. And that thing turned into a snake. I'm going to mirror the system that you're serving to show you that that thing that is in you is more powerful And that breaks imposter syndrome, man. When you understand that and you show up in a context of this worship empire, whether it's, you know, the worship of money or fame or whatever it is,
yeah,
but you've got this thing in you, you show up on the scene, you could say AI is one of those tools, right? Like I could say, I'm going to use that thing in your hand. You've got the clarity of purpose, and you're going to have this prevailing capacity to innovate, to build with purpose, steward wealth, et cetera, and not burn out while you're doing it. You're going to be on fire, but the fire is not going to consume you. And that's super different than most of the leaders that we find that might achieve incredible success, become a billionaire, and then they burn out or their family like cradles and all of that. There's a different way. And I believe that's what I call the unknown leader that has been prepared in the hidden place, in the pit, in the prison, in the failure, whatever. Nobody knows them, but they've been prepared slowly in a secret place so they can sustain the public scrutiny in the future. And I think we're in the season where that's happening. It happens over time, but I believe we're in a critical moment, window of time, where there's a changing of the guard in many different industry sectors. Definitely generationally, as the boomers kind of move out of the scene, there's this massive generational change, and I believe it's a key moment in history.
I wholeheartedly agree with the change piece. Man, there's so much good in what you said that if this weren't a podcast, I would just want to sit in silence and process it. There's a couple of things that I think we can hit on. One is, like you were saying with Joseph, Joseph almost didn't, he didn't really choose his preparation, right? He didn't choose to be thrown in a pit. He didn't choose to be sold into slavery. He didn't choose to become a servant in Potiphar's house. He didn't choose to go into a jail and all those things. Yet that was the exact preparation he needed to become basically like second in command. He was like the COO of one of the largest, if not the largest nation on the planet. But the preparation was not of his own choosing. It's not, he's like, well, he didn't go and get whatever Harvard of Egypt would have been, MBA and have all the right credentials and have the right families and network with the right, you know, political parties and all of that. How can a leader listening right now, how can you help them process what they're going through as preparation? Because it's easy for all of us it's good to have dreams. It's good to have goals, I think. It's good to envision yourself as, you know, if you're, you know, Michael Jordan or Kobe and got Mamba mentality or whatever, but you visualize the championship winning, all of those things. But then you look at your current circumstance and you're like, how does this add up in any way, plus a few other variables? Like, this feels like I'm going left, and I need my goals and dreams and calling are over on the right. Like, how do I reconcile that? And I think because we're in Western culture, especially America, it's, you know, the hustle, right? Yeah. I think hustle culture is even invaded the faith community to say, well, if you feel like you got an inkling of what your calling might be, well, now you got to hustle for it and get there. But that isn't represented anywhere in the Bible.
Yeah. Wow.
How do we reprocess? How do we retrain our brain on this? Because the idea of being an unknown, and this is something, honestly, I'm really wrestling with at the moment in some areas of life. And it is brutally and beautifully painful right now. How do we process this?
You know, there's one in this recent season of my life. I've come to know a truth that I'm still unpacking, but I found deeply motivating in the journey, in my own journey, that says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. So what does delighting mean? Right. We were talking about Joseph. So I think it varies for different people, but I believe part of that is supernatural. I believe we're supernatural beings. I have, yeah. have people that I know from different walks of life, some Christians, some not, but many who are very accomplished leaders, and they're in a season post COVID that, you know, their world is turned upside down. They've been on a journey where they're taking, you know, trips, sabbaticals to go kind of find themselves in silence, right? To repurpose, rewire their value system, and reconnect with something bigger. Even boomers, they've sold companies, they're kind of done, but they're not done, right? They still feel this level, like, I still want to matter. I still want to make a difference. How does the next part of my life look like? And they're going on these find yourself type of trips to try to find a community. But for Joseph, I would say, you know, he was a dreamer, not just like he had dreams that were like rooted in just, you know, pizza dreams. It was more than that. He had dreams that were given to him, right? So it wasn't just like, I'm going to watch a cool, read a cool book and then like say, I want that. And so I'm going to like put it in my mirror, motivate myself every day. There might be truth to that, but I'm saying something different. Joseph had God gave Joseph these dreams. For him to delight in them was to actually believe that about himself. So you find a source and then you meditate, you delight in that truth about you, right? Because it's rooted, one, you have to believe, in my context, you have to believe that that truth exists, that there is a desire, for example, right? And that you've been designed a certain way. And if you have the capacity to supernaturally hear that and then center yourself in that, that's delight, right? So for Joseph, it meant, even though maybe ill-suited, whatever, he believed the dreams that he had about the future, about himself. He didn't fully understand them, but he delighted, even in prison, right? He learned how to do that, and he was excellent at whatever he did, because he had this belief about himself, whether it was still like untested, maybe unrefined, but that kept them rooted. So that when it happened, it wasn't like, there was this confirmation over time that it just made sense, right? So, when I lost my CEO job and I thought that the bubble of what I thought was like just tarnished, I had been taught by a mentor how to journal from like when I was in college, journal. And for me, that practice was both journaling, not just what was happening, but getting into the practice of hearing the voice of the Creator, hear the voice of God. And then at the same time, me processing what I thought that meant for me. So I had years of journals. So in my moment of like, okay, everything, I'm in the pit, I went back through the journals. I just had a moment where I just went through and I was like, I have to fully understand this, almost slow down my life. And I spent a ton of time. And then the book for me was a healing process where I made sense of that, of what that was for me. So in all of it, to your question, like how does a leader make sense of that preparation or the struggle or being unknown, is you've got to find, and I would say also Daniel was the same way, right? He had a capacity to have dreams, interpret dreams, like connect to his source, and then he wouldn't deviate from that, right? So I had to find really one who I was, and I had glimpses of it, but I thought it was being defined for me by a system, the systems I was operating in. And I just got to understand what that truly meant. And then to say, okay, what does it actually mean to be redefined, rewired from the inside out? And then try to then go become a builder, a new type of builder. Cause I believe in the vision that I received that there's going to be a new billionaire class that is wired differently. They have a different upbringing, right? It's not old wealth. They didn't just have a trust fund and all of a sudden they're billionaires. Right. And you begin to see, you just look at the data and research, that's already beginning to happen. When I talked about the book, even though the sources are, and I'm not saying that this person's a believer, but Luana Lopez Lara started Kalshi, right, as a Brazilian ballerina who moved and joined MIT and became, you know, started Kalshi with one of her co-founders who was an American, but also had roots in outside from America, was also quasi-immigrant, right? And they built Kalshi as a trading futures platform that's gone through, you know, its official and became the youngest billionaire female in history. And so I was listening to her story actually in a podcast recently because I told my daughter, like, because she was like, because her friends asked her, so is your dad a billionaire? Because of the book. And I'm like, no. It's just like, I've seen part of the future. And for me, and I've told people at the book launch, like, hey, this is not like, hey, I want to be a billionaire, so I'm going to read your book. But it's like, but if God has called you to be a billionaire and you read this book, it's going to stir that in you. For me, it's more like, I'm like, if that's in you and you read it, then it's going to do that. Apostolically, like, there's a commission that goes forth. And if that revelation of Jesus, and we're just talking for a Christian audience, if that is in there, it's going to hit you, right? That truth is going to pull on that thing in you.
Yeah.
And it's going to cause you to awaken. For me, it's more of a call, more of a responsibility, just like I imagine it was for Joseph. Once you've seen the future, you cannot see it. And once you know that's coming, what do you do then? For me, I want to become a mentor to that emerging class. I don't know where they're all at, but I trust that I will find them in time. And so part of my discipline and living into this is just getting out there, being a podcast like yours, Kenny, and just sharing the message. And I believe as those who need to hear it will hear it, that we'll connect somehow. And that's kind of the last chapter of my life. I want to dedicate to that, to say, I don't fully yet realize what it looks like, but I have an idea. And that's like a micro school and different things, different concepts to connect to these, almost like Xavier and like, you know, find these extraordinary people and help shape them. So, because they will shape the world. And so I believe that. And I want to live my life with that anchor of revelation.
I love that. And I want to highlight something important, not just for what you said in your book and about your book, but for any leader listening, pay attention to what Art said. It's like, this book, you could read it and it could be good and you would enjoy it and you might learn some things, you know, that are relevant to you right now and maybe in your future. But if you're called to do this, if you've gotten the clarity of this, then this book is going to activate some of those things in you for your journey. And I think we need to take that perspective into more of the literature and media we consume as leaders, because we tend to be self-feeders. You know, this is one reason why we have a podcast. We go out, we listen to leadership podcasts, we read leadership books, we go to leadership conferences,
do it all.
Yeah. And I'm not saying that's bad, but what I am saying is that not all of their advice is meant for you, and not all of it, if it's meant for you, is meant for you right now. There, you know, if you want to go, you know, biblically, to unto everything there is a season, right? There's things that I read now that when I read them in college, they didn't mean anything to me in college, or I just had less surface level understanding. But now I have a much deeper understanding because of life experiences, or, you know, I'd like to say maturity, but my wife and family may argue with that statement. But I do think that that is an important point to highlight. Yeah. Now, there's probably like two or three things that, that we're circling around that are coming to mind. Maybe even four, and this probably tells me that we need to have like a mini series. But the idea, because I think you've addressed the billionaire class a bit, and I do maybe want to come back to that. But I want you to talk about being an unknown or the unknowns, because that is antithetical to anything and everything that is being taught. not just, hey, I want to be a famous YouTuber, TikToker, you know, sort of thing that teenagers are globbing on to, but it's like, how are you, you know, getting your message out there and just market the bejesus out of everything? How do you make sure that your presence is felt in the room when we're having the meeting? And how do I, it almost seems like in all cases, you take on the burden and responsibility of making yourself known. And I feel like not only are you not saying that, but you're zagging to this zig message of make yourself known.
Hmm. Yeah, man. It's something to live out, right? It's something to walk out daily. But I believe Jesus put it masterfully, like, you know, not my will, Father, but you, not my will, but your will be done. And it's done every day. So didn't mean that he wasn't, you know, as he lived his purpose as the Son of Man, he was incredibly popular. I mean, crowds were clamoring for him. And yet at the same time, his message was, this is not my message. I'm like honoring the Father, right? Like I'm fulfilling a plan that's bigger in his day, right? Like he was committed to that. And so I think it's us finding, you know, if you understand this is bigger than you, again, connected to this thing, like the vision that I had, it's bigger than me. It will outlive me. And yet I understand that I am a messenger of it. I'm an ambassador of it. And I'm going to build on that truth, right? I'm building something that's bigger. It's not building our Cerner's empire. It's not promoting. So in the same way, you know, in Paul's day, he became one of the most successful in his craft as like his CEO of a missionary movement. Mm-hmm. And that message permeated the known world with limited tools, I would imagine, the Roman Empire's tools, right? He accessed, but he achieved incredible success. And yet it wasn't about him, right? He'd almost died to his ambition and had surrendered to something bigger than him. But he brought others along in that, and he stewarded. He built that into others that he could trust with that burden, and they replicated that. So it doesn't mean that you won't have success. It doesn't mean that you won't have numbers, because the message itself is powerful. If you're part of that message, right? If you're benefiting humanity, your concept could be incredibly transformational. But the way that you center it, the way you describe it, is not focused on you. I don't know. I could probably need to practice, Kenny, how to better say it. But the message is like there's, and that's what I said at the beginning. It's incredibly hard to discipline yourself to go through this death process where you surrender to that. Usually you have some sacred cow, or you have something that you typically try to pull up in the hustle culture that's rooted on you. And I think the pivot for the unknowns is you go through this preparation period that you actually lose the appetite to center the wrong things. And you regain a new appreciation to center the right things. And I don't know what that means for your audience, but even if you're like, but I'm intrigued by this concept of the billionaire class, it doesn't mean that you have to be that, but it may mean that you're a Timothy to a Paul. It might mean that you're called to be part of that and you're going to be a part of it, but you may not be the face of it, but you're gonna play a role. And sometimes being in that room, like the 12 with Jesus in that Passover meal, that maybe that's your role, right? Like you're not going to be the face of the movement, but you're going to be part of it. And in it, there might be incredible delight for an individual to say like, hey, stop fighting to try to be the face of something. But if you are called to be the face of something, stop fighting the imposter syndrome and become it. And I've told people, listen, if you're called to five people and that's your family, like find a light in that and be the best you can be for that. But if you're called to 1,000 or 1,000,000, stop trying to spend your time with five. You're called to 1,000 or 1,000,000. And again, once you understand that, then and it's deeper ground and you surrender to that, then you can go do it. I think for Luana Lopez Lara with Kalshi, you know, just sharing her journey of she wanted to live the American dream. She understands it's not for everyone and that we need to make that more available to more people. But her journey was like as a ballerina, like working hard, long hours, all of that. But if you understand that's your purpose, and I think I've heard you, Kenny, talk about work on balance. Sometimes if you're in the call, then it doesn't matter. Like like you're in the purpose and it's going to consume you and there's life in it. But if you're trying to make it yourself, then yeah, you'll burn out. So I think for your audience, I think understanding that you don't always have to be the face of something to be part of something. But at the same time, like if you have a ton of success, even within the faith community, the hustle culture, as just be rooted in the message, unwavering in that, just like Paul was. You got to understand what that is, right, for you. And I think God defines that for if you're a believer, and if not, like just what's the benefit to humanity that you want to live for and give your life for, and then be true to that. Be true to that.
Yeah. If someone is listening and they say, okay, this resonates, this is hitting home for me, like it is for me right now. And they say, okay, well, I've spent all this time accumulating identities or putting together one that's been handed to me through culture, business, friend, you know, well-meaning people even. But I really want to get clear on this calling thing that you're talking about, because that seems like they intuitively know that that's the right place to be, but they aren't quite sure how to navigate there.
Yeah. Well,
how do they start to, what's a baby step that they could take in the next 24 hours, spending little to no money, to start to move towards that clear, that God-given identity, and set aside the one that they've taken on?
Yeah, I think clarity comes when you slow yourself down enough to tell yourself the truth. And so sometimes that is done for you, right? And that was my reality. I mean, COVID was the beginning of it, but then more truth came. But I think it's because I asked for it, Kenny, because I cried out to God. I didn't fully know what I was asking, but I was wanting to live into this reality of who am I, right? So I think, again, when you slow yourself down enough to tell yourself the truth, and I would say this internal audit would be the activity for your audience in the next 24 hours. So be alone. I don't know what that looks for everyone. For me, being in nature allowed me to be able to do that, walking in a park, and Wisconsin has beautiful parks. So, and asking myself three grounded questions in that process. And it's not a one-time deal. Like, you got to do it. You got to journal it. You got to listen to it. You got to speak it to yourself. But what am I building right now and why? Write it down. Unpack it from different angles. Ask people who know you or deeply, your wife, your spouse, your kids. Ask that question. What am I building right now and why? Two, is this being driven by pressure or by purpose? That's number two. And then the third, do I have peace or just momentum in it? So do those three. See what comes up.
Clear my schedule this afternoon.
That's a great beginning point, right? That's a great beginning point.
Yeah,
and then the last of all, I would say once you define some level of clarity, find other people that are on the journey with you. That when you say it, it stirs not like the ambition part of you, or at least not only that, but the deep part of that clarity that's emerging. Find those people and like connect to them and be on that journey with them. That's the journey I'm in right now. And it's a pleasure to connect with you and find other people that are like-minded and at least know that we're on a journey.
Yes, absolutely. This is awesome. Art, there's a lot more I'd love to talk to you about, but we'll have to save that for a future episode. If people want to know more about you, your book, the work that you're doing, where do they connect with you, get the book and learn more about what you're doing?
Very simple. Unknownsrising.com, and just follow us on Instagram at unknownsrising. If they go there, if they go to the website, they'll find the link to the book, just how to connect with me, be a part of what we're doing, get updates, all of that. But I just would encourage, if anything in this podcast resonated for you and you just want to be a part of it, connect. And then hopefully we can meet something as I go and talk about this mission that we're on with the Unknowns Rising. Kenny, thank you.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure. And just to make sure everybody didn't like skip over this, it's unknowns, plural. There's more than just one. Yes. But we'll have the links to all of that in the show notes so you can go and check all those out. YouTube, LinkedIn, Instagram, books, like the whole shebang. So go, please check those things out. Thank you so much, Art, for spending some time with me and our listeners and dropping some real gold nuggets, some things for us to think about and questions to ask ourselves. To the listener, thank you. You didn't have to spend your time with us, but you did because you're awesome and you're smart and you know what's good. Art and I do not take for granted the fact that you have a lot of choices. There's, you know, 3 million podcasts out there and you chose to spend a little bit of your day with us. We hope that it was beneficial. And if you made it this far, we're going to assume so. If it was, please like, rate, review, subscribe, whatever the action is on your platform of choice. It would mean a lot to me to get more messages and more conversations like this out there to more leaders who are trying to take their next step. And that's a free and easy way you can help them. And won't that make you feel warm and fuzzy inside? But until next time, change the way you think, we'll change the way you lead. We'll see you.